Hi, and welcome to SimCast, where we at Senior Insurance Marketing dive into all things insurance. We hope agents can utilize this as another tool to expand their knowledge and better assist their clients.
This is Todd Brow with Senior Insurance Marketing SimCast. And with me today is the Vice President of Life and Annuities with Integrity Marketing, Mark Steuben. Mark, welcome aboard to SimCast today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So wanted to visit with you about living benefits. Tell me, what are living benefits in the life and annuity world, and how are they beneficial for clients?
That's a good question, Todd. And I think one of the things that I think is really important is in our industry, innovation's been tough. It's been hard to come up with new ideas and new features that really resonate with consumers. But I think, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, when these really started to become popular, this is really is what changed the game for us in the life insurance space. You know, these are the type of benefits that give consumers that are buying life insurance, which has always been for the death of the insured for that family and to create legacies and cover taxes for future generations, to actually get access to a policy, provide a huge benefit while they're still alive. And I think that is what's changed the game, changed the conversation. And really for any producer out there in today is got to be part of their conversation with consumers.
So with living benefits, what triggers a living benefit if that's on a product for either a life or annuity? What triggers that?
So it really depends on the type of benefit. So there's two major benefits when it comes to living benefits. You have the 101G rider, and these are codes of the tax codes. 101G is a section. The other one is 7702B. So a 101G is what you usually see marketed as your chronic and critical illness riders, where you have to hit 2 out of 6 ADLs to trigger that. And that really is just an acceleration of a death benefit to a consumer. Doesn't require an agent to get an additional license. It's usually built into the price of the product and is just a true acceleration. So for something of that nature, as long as the consumer is 2 out of 6 ADLs, they can at least apply to get that benefit. The 7702B is what you often hear the carriers will market as more of a true long-term care rider. And that type of feature, it has a separate pool of money. So you still have your death benefit as a standalone, but you add a separate pool of money for a benefit. It requires additional underwriting. So a consumer may or may not qualify for that, has its own cost, and it does require the agent to have an LTC license. So you do have to have additional licensing to sell a 7702. But that is what triggers that is basically you're going into a facility, a long-term care facility, or you have home health care or hospice, things of that nature is what triggers that benefit.
So you mentioned two of the 6 ADLs. So basically ADL means activities of daily living. So if they can't bathe, toilet, transferring, then if they cannot do 2 of those 6, then that would trigger that benefit to file a claim on, basically.
It would. And the key is, though, with that type of rider, you really have to look at the fine print, because sometimes 2 out of the 6 is what would trigger the qualification. But some carriers, if it doesn't change the life expectancy of that consumer or that insured, it still may not trigger a benefit. Sometimes the 2 out of 6 ADLs is enough, and sometimes it must trigger a change in their life expectancy. But you could not even, that's the pre-qualification is 2 out of 6.
2 out of 6. Okay.
Yep.
So you mentioned long-term care. So what's the difference between for our listeners, that what's the difference between a living benefit for a life and annuity and the difference between just a long-term care policy?
You know, I think there's never a replacement for true long-term care. That is the different pool of money. You have a benefit that usually goes up with inflation. It truly covers all the expenses needed for a facility. That's the gold standard. The problem is that as an industry, there's just no capacity anymore. There used to be, when you and I started in this industry, a lot of people that love long-term care.
Yeah, yeah.
And people bought it. Unfortunately, there was some times over the history that, you know, there was a lot of criticism for long-term care. Maybe it was too expensive. It didn't cover it. If you didn't use it, you lose it. But it's still the gold standard. But the problem is that with 10,000 Americans turning 65 a day, it's just too big of a risk pool. Mm-hmm. So this is the new way of trying to help consumers out to cover long-term care. And the carriers have been extremely creative. And you, when you say life and annuities, over the last 2 or 3 years, you are seeing benefits on annuities. You're seeing LTC annuities that build in separate pools for this. Carriers are getting so creative to help find a way to cover still probably the biggest need we have as a society is long-term care.
And you mentioned about long-term care, where you either use it or you lose it, basically, kind of like property and casualty insurance or car insurance, basically.
Right.
Same type of principle, but kind of with the standalone long-term care, if you don't use it, you lose it. But also with taking that same type, use it or lose it with life or annuity, it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Correct. And I think that's the beauty is, the one certainty is death and tax. Two certainties, death and taxes.
Yep.
So we know it's going to happen. So at least those products will always be able to do what we probably started out buying it for, and that's to pass a death benefit on. But it just gives us that added layer of protection. Well, what if we get sick? It's one of those things that it's hard to plan for, right? And what you see now is what's unfortunate, but as a benefit, is like the GoFundMes. You see that as an option where people use social media to cover those expenses. And as an industry, what a service that we can provide people is to cover two needs in one product. I can help you if you're sick, but at the end of the day, what you wanted was to have a death benefit to your family I cover. And I think that's where these products are so revolutionary and so consumer friendly with so many different options. This is what has changed the game. It's a 2-for-1 sale. And we've never had that in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, and also kind of getting back to the use it or lose it. So if they have a life or annuity that has the living benefit rider on it, and they don't exercise that because they've passed away and didn't have the 2 of the 6 ADLs or a qualifying event that would trigger that. But then it would be passed on to their beneficiary. So it's kind of
it will always
win-win type situation.
Yes, it's always going to pay a benefit
to someone.
Because to someone. It's just a matter, is it during your lifetime or is it when you're gone? And so all your premiums paid will never be for loss. You're still paying pennies on the dollar for a death benefit. And if 3 years down the road you get sick, you've got a benefit.
Getting sick. So we talk about long-term care and going into nursing home, home health care, assisted living, but also getting sick, possibly if you have a cancer or heart attack, or talk about those, to kind of where that falls in to like a life or annuity policy.
So that's really the 101G rider's benefit, is if it, you have cancer, stroke, heart attack, and it changes your life expectancy to get that money accelerated off your policy. So say you have a $250,000 policy, depending on the severity, you're going to get an acceleration of that benefit to take that money and do whatever you want. Cover health expenses. For cancer, say you have cancer, there's so many people that have an opportunity to do experimental treatment that their health insurance would never cover. Mm-hmm. But if they had this benefit, could accelerate it and maybe take advantage of that and may save their life. So that acceleration of benefit is critical. And that's, to me, it's hard to, when you're really talking to consumers about needs, you really have to ask more questions, because that may be more beneficial to them or may spark their interest more than just having something to help cover a long-term care or a facility or a home health care that a 7702B would do. So I think that's really the conversation. But, for years, we've both been in this business a long time. We never had that ability to help somebody if they bought a life insurance to cover them if they had cancer or had a stroke, and or even you could have 2 out of 6 if you have lose your cognitive impairments. You could have dementia.
Yeah.
Look how many people have that at such young ages that would have the ability to take advantage of this. And I think this is what, to me, has really taken the producers out there in this business today and could make heroes out of all of them, because you're helping those people while they're still alive. It's just, this changes the game.
Yeah, it definitely does. And like you said before, life insurance was just for death benefit purposes only. Now it's for, you know, like they say, a living benefit. So you can use that benefit while you're living to help pay for, you know, if you have cancer, if you're in a nursing home, or, you know, can't perform to the six ADLs in that too. So, so basically when an individual is looking, you know, down the road for long-term care and stuff like that, but kind of when should a person start looking at living benefits?
I think that's a great question, because I think, you know, unfortunately I'm 50 and I've lost both my parents. So at an earlier age, having to deal with that made me think about it and was cognizant in my 40s. So, you know, it's not too soon to have it. The beauty is, especially on these 101G riders that are on a lot of term policies, you'll see, which is for people in their 30s and 40s that are buying it. For a few extra dollars, usually you can have that benefit on there. Why not take advantage of that? The one thing we don't get to control is when that may happen to us. And to me, the devastation financially to a family with young kids in their 30s and 40s, I mean, that's going to, it could lead to bankruptcies, losing homes and kids' futures and all that. There is no wrong time to buy those. The 7702B riders that are more like a long-term care are usually on the permanent products always. And that's probably in the market of your 45 to 65 range. The key is, though, that's underwritten separately. So it underwrites your morbidity, not just your mortality. So there's also a time when, you know, you may be 60, you may be perfectly fine to have a life insurance product. Your mortality is good. But you may have like a rheumatoid arthritis or something that would preclude you from getting long-term care. You can shift to a 101G. That's the beauty of these two benefits, is your health, your financial ability to pay for it and everything may help lead you in the right direction to a path. But you can't go wrong with either one, because where else would you ever get the money unless you want to completely liquidate a 401k or something? And then, you know, all your plans for retirement are changing.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think there is an age that precludes you from this, because I've had friends in their 40s that are going through this stuff, and it's financially devastating. And, you know, and it changes long-term care situations, change family dynamics. I've had a dad that was a nursing home 15 years. Your dad's been a facility. It changes your life as much as it changes theirs.
Yeah.
And so there's just the ability to access something to make everybody's life easier, and also maybe to keep a family together. It's hard to put a price on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely is. And also, you know, just with, you know, caring for your loved one too. I mean, that's taking time from work, you know, the cost of, you know, a nursing home or assisted living, you know, is not cheap and can drain a bank account down quite fast. If depends upon what facility they're in or what care that they're getting in that too. And you'd mentioned too that, you know, just caring for a loved one, you know, you're away from your job, but also, you know, caring for the individual is like a 24/7 job as well too, because depends upon what their severity is, you know, it's a wear on you as well too. So,
you know, just to touch on that, Todd, so in our situation, it always usually falls to one sibling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my middle brother took all the pressure of taking care of my parents. And the ability on these riders with a lot of them is that you get the funds to then do what you want with. It would have been great to have him helped out, because he lost time at jobs or transportation or buying things, to been able to do reimbursements and stuff to him. But I think that is a critical question that has to be asked in a fact-finding situation, especially with the true long-term care riders, those 7702Bs, because each of the carriers has two ways of paying out. You can buy some policies are reimbursement and some are indemnification. So a reimbursement policy would not have helped our situation out, because the reimbursement is I get the receipts from the facility, I turn them into the carrier, and then they send me the money to pay that facility. Mm-hmm. It lasts longer, but that money is truly going towards that benefit of what that insured is going through. Where if I buy an indemnification, it may send me $5,000 a month and I can do what I want with it. I can pay $4,000 to a facility and I could help out a family member for $1,000 to do all the work. It's critical to always ask that other question of, if something does happen to you, who's going to take care of you? Yeah. Because that it may be really important to somebody to just have a pool of money to do what they want, and not just the ability to get receipts and reimburse. So I think it's really important in your fact-finding question to ask, you know, do you have somebody that's going to be there to take care of you? And it is a burden on a family. And also, I will tell you, for me, and I don't know what your situation was like, but that reimbursement method would have been hard for me. I see a lot of value in it, but the facility my dad was in trying to get receipts and stuff would have been a nightmare and another different type of job to have to deal with. But you know, it's so important to really ask not only questions about the insured, but if they do get sick, do you have somebody that can help with that? And would you want to help them for helping you? So it leads to a whole bunch of new conversations and probably potentially other types of sales.
Well, and I think if I can kind of expand on your, you know, if you have someone to care for you today. Because you never know when that dynamic might change, when that someone, you know, unfortunately might not be with us, or they might be ill as well too and can't take care of. So it's almost kind of like having a plan A, plan B, and almost a plan C, you know. So if no one can take care of me, you know, I'm probably off going to assisted living or home health care and everything like that as well too, I think is kind of another thing to maybe consider too.
Oh, it is. In fact, I remember as a kid, a lot of people coming to our home, sitting down with my mom and dad and saying to my dad, you need long-term care. And what he would always say is, well, take care of my mom or his wife,
yeah,
because I'll be able to take care of her if she gets sick, but she wouldn't be able to take care of me. The problem is, if something happened to him and my mom couldn't do it and it devastated the family financially, he was always worried about her, but he wouldn't take care of him. And that's what killed us and as a family financially. And so, like you said, your plans may change.
Yeah.
Because that person that you think is going to be there to help you is also getting older and may not be able to do it.
Exactly. So, yeah. Or even younger too.
Younger.
You know, it might be one of the kids and they, you know, might have some health issues that, and it might be the only kid that is around to help because the other siblings might be, you know, states away or whatever too.
They may move away and that person he thought was going to stay local. Life changes.
Yep. And maybe they got a job somewhere else too. That's another thing too.
But that's what makes us so much more powerful is that I have this money that I don't know what the future may hold, but it covers the what if.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we never had that before.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, and also if I don't need it, then I pass away, then it goes on to my beneficiary.
My full benefit goes to my original plan of passing it to beneficiaries.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, another thing that kind of we're mentioning about, staying at home and, you know, siblings or maybe having home health care come to the home as well. You know, another thing to kind of consider is your home, you know, equipped and safe for to be in? You know, do you have handrails, you know, in the bathroom? Do you have, you know, down the stairs or, you know, usually home health care does an assessment of, you know, if it's feasible for you to stay home. And if it is, you know, with some enhancements, and some of that might pay for the handrails or the, you know, other benefits that are, you know, needed too. Yeah.
Well, and that... It's very true. And if you think about the generations, my parents, when my dad had his stroke, the house was built in 1954. So we had to put in ramps when we tried to bring him home to get him up there. We had to pay for all that. We actually had to change a lot of the hallways or the entryways into different rooms and expand them because his wheelchair couldn't go through them. Because everything in the older days, unfortunately, was built smaller. You know, now today, a lot of homes have open floor plans, but a lot of our parents and stuff are probably living in homes that aren't built in 2020 or 2015. They're all usually in older homes that aren't really conducive to that. And it does. And that stuff is not cheap.
No.
You start buying all the materials and you, or you hire people to do that, you can easily be at $10,000 or $20,000 to cover that. And for a lot of people, you know, over half Americans don't even have $10,000 saved. So how are they going to pay for that? What a tool to have that ability to be able to leverage these type of benefits. You never know what that funds may be covering.
And it's there for kind of the old cliche, a rainy day.
You know? A rainy day.
Exactly.
That's right.
So tell me, kind of in looking at the crystal ball in the future, any other designs or products, innovations that's coming out to maybe enhance some of these living benefits, or that you're aware of, or tweak them?
I think you're going to see a lot of enhancements. You'll see enhancements on even final expense type products. You'll see a lot more enhancements on annuities. You know, a couple of years ago, the state of Washington came out with to all their residents that they had to basically have a policy to cover their own long-term care. And it's going, other states are looking at that. And so the opportunities here are endless. And I think a lot of carriers are looking for what's the next innovation here. And because, you know, in a sense, I hate to say this, but why would you look at the old school way of having insurance to just get a death benefit when you could buy a policy to have this and have a two-for-one opportunity? And so I think this is really where a lot of innovation is going to happen. The key to it is, though, still, how do you underwrite it? How do you make it consumer-friendly? You know, because a lot of these things, if you do a claim, you have to go back and get your doctor records and they're reassessing your life expectancy. You know, it may accelerate a death benefit and then leave you with a small policy for covering maybe final expenses. There's going to be a lot of tweaks to this to make this better and better all the time. I think we're still in kind of the, I would say probably the second generation of these type of benefits, but there's going to be a lot more that comes.
Well, and I think as the population ages, they're going to be needing more of these benefits. And I think that's kind of what's going to be the driving factor as well, too, I think, on most of them as well. So,
and, you know, we've kind of the 2 out of 6 ADL has been kind of the standard for so long. But there, as people, like you said, age, and there's other things that the medical field continues to advance, we'll probably have to look at other ways of how to measure the triggering of these type of benefits. So I think there'll be a lot of innovation, but it's imperative as a producer agent out there to read the fine print, because each of them, you would think a 101G is a 101G or a 7702B is a 7702B, but the nuances are in the fine print as to how the qualification, are there fees to implement the rider? Does it have to require changes in life expectancy, the reimbursement versus indemnification? There are a lot of variations. So you do have to really get into the fine print to find the right one that fits that consumer need.
And again, having these living benefits, whether it be on a life or an annuity, or even just a standalone long-term care policy too, helps the client out financially. And it's just a source of funds that you can tap into if that need arises, basically. So anything else that about living benefits that you'd like to highlight, Mark?
I don't know if there's anything else. I just would tell everybody, if you're not looking at these benefits, I think it's imperative. I can't think of a situation where you'd go wrong having any of them to be able to have that benefit in the future. Having gone through this as a son to both of my parents, both my parents had life insurance. Neither one of them had long-term care. And the hurt it does to not only you know, the financial piece, but what it has to an impact on families and their lives. And, you know, even my kids' lives had to change because I was always having to go back to care of it. It's such a, there's such a tail on this whole situation that I just think you can't, if you want to be a hero, just offer any of them, because I think this is so imperative to offer somebody one of these options. And maybe they can have the gold standard of long-term care, mm-hmm. or maybe the silver of the 7702B. There's a lot of advantages of just having a 101G. Mm-hmm. So why not have something out there? Because none of us have that crystal ball of what's going to happen. So I just think if you're not looking at these, it's just imperative. And quite honestly, with all the new legislation about fiduciaries and all that that's coming out, it's imperative that you're talking to these things about to your clients, so you're covering all bases of, you know, of that client's needs, mm-hmm. and having that conversation. You can't go wrong with that conversation. And if you're not, the next person I guarantee will, because this has now become pretty mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really everybody's got one pretty much of a different type of variety.
Well, and kind of like we said, kind of sum it up, it's better to have something than nothing.
Yes.
Exactly.
Just like any insurance.
Exactly.
You know, everybody will say, well, that was more expensive than the other. But at the end of the day, it's always better to have something than nothing.
Yeah. And even, you know, with life insurance, you know, having that living benefit rider. But if you don't use it, you have that death benefit to help pay for, you know, help your beneficiaries out, you know, and yep. you might have kids, you know, grandkids or kids, you know, that pass that on to that help them out, pay for college. It's just leaving a legacy as well.
That's so, right.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it. I know we could talk on and on about benefits, but it's a subject that I think everyone needs to consider, needs to look into and see what fits their needs. And basically, you know, sometimes not getting the policy that pays out the most, it's get something that just pays out something. It's better than nothing. So, but if you have any questions, give us a call here at Senior Insurance Marketing. We'd be glad to help you out. It's 402-434-7761, and be glad to help explain more about the living benefits and the products and show you what's available for you in that. So again, we have Mark Steuben, the Vice President of Life and Annuities with Integrity Marketing, with us today talking about living benefits. And again, Mark, thanks for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to tune in next time as we make the senior insurance market simplified.